Welcome to this week's episode of the Life Group Leader Podcast. Here at Compass Bible Church, we exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ by reaching people for Christ, teaching people to be like Christ, and training people to serve Christ. And everything that we do here at Compass, including this podcast, is to fulfill that mission. You know, the heart of even doing that intro each and every week was when we planted this church, we wanted to ensure that all of our leaders and all of those who call Compass Bible Church home would never forget the mission of our church. It is not uncommon when you visit churches and ask people what the mission of their church is, what their mission statement is, what they're doing there at each and every week. It isn't uncommon to find people who just don't know. And so we always want to make sure that we have out in front of us why we exist here as a body of believers here at Compass Bible Church. Well, life group leaders and apprentice leaders, we just finished a second week of baptisms where we had six people come before our church and share the testimony of how Christ had saved their lives. And I'm going to tell you, they were so encouraging. They were so clear and they were so concise when it comes to the need for everyone to respond rightly to the facts of the gospel message and trust in Christ to save them from their sins. And I was just so encouraged. We've had so many salvations recently. I believe God's doing a great work here in New Braunfels, and particularly through the life of our church, that we are already planning another baptism service at the end of May. And so be praying for all of those who are responding to the gospel and that we would come alongside to them and walk with them in their newfound faith in Christ. Well, we wrapped up a trilogy called Gospel 101, the first baptism service we had done months ago. We talked about the holiness of God. Last week, we talked about the justice of God. And this week, we've talked about the love of God, with a series entitled Gospel 101. And we talked about the steadfast love of God from Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. So let me read that for you now. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. And remember that Prophet Micah is ministering mainly to the southern kingdom of Israel from around 750 BC to 687 BC. And these dates are important because it was at 721 BC when the northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed by God through the instrumentality of the Assyrian forces because of the sin of the northern kingdom and their lack of repenting and turning to God. And remember, even in the sermon, that much of the southern kingdom came under attack, and some of which became under control of Assyria, where the southern kingdom became a vassal state of Assyria, which means although they retained their autonomy as a nation of the southern kingdom of Judah, they were basically under the umbrella control of the Assyrians. And Micah was God's mouthpiece, declaring that the destruction was coming for the north and called the southern kingdom of Judah to repent of their sins, or they too would be destroyed. And you had good kings like King Hezekiah, who called Judah to repentance and prayed on behalf, and God had spared Jerusalem. But later, as we know, even in history, and 587, I believe, B.C., you have the southern kingdom taken over by the power of Babylon. And so although that we do see a mitigation of the Lord's judgment on Judah, and eventually Judah also is destroyed because of their lack of repentance and their sin and their evil before the Lord. But Micah, as he's ministering here in these years of great upheaval from the Assyrian Empire, he tells them of the judgment that's coming, but he also spends much time talking about the hope that they will have, the remnant will have, because of the steadfast love of God. And so as we looked at this text, we pointed out three things that the love of God does for those who trust in Him. And the first thing is that God's love kills sin. The very problem that the northern kingdom had that inevitably led to their destruction, and the same problem that Micah was preaching to the southern kingdom, was you have a sin problem. And if you don't turn from it, the anger of God is going to pour out injustice on your land, and you too are going to be taken over like the northern kingdom. And here we say, but the steadfast love of God, He doesn't retain His anger forever. He's got justice that comes from Him, but what He acts on is His steadfast, covenant-keeping love, and He's going to have a remnant. There's going to be people who turn to Him. He's going to bring them to Himself, and He's going to tread on their iniquities. He's going to cast all their sins away, pardon them, and pass over their transgression. And I think that when you get into your application questions this week, I think this is such an important part of your discussion this week, of this fact that what does the love of God do? Well, it kills the enmity between us and God that is there because of our sin and our rebellion against God. But it's also, as it's working in the Christian, as it's perfecting us, that is the love of God through the work of the Holy Spirit, it would cause us and move us and motivate us to kill ongoing acts of sin in our own life. So I'm encouraging you to spend a bit of time on question number one, reading Colossians 3, 2 through 8, and 1 Peter 2, 24, and spend time talking through the motivation of that we get from the love of God to kill the ongoing acts of sin in our lives. Point number two, God's love keeps promises. We looked at the covenant language in this text that shows that God is His hesed love, His covenant-keeping love, and His emet, His faithfulness, His trustworthiness, His honesty and integrity is always going to be what He has in mind as He's dealing with His elect. Worth noting, which I didn't talk about in the sermon, but you as life group leaders might be helpful for you guys to keep in mind, Micah, and not even just Micah, but the patriarchs echo the words of God in Exodus 34, verses 6 through 7. And remember, this is Moses at Sinai with Israel there in the wilderness. And Moses, you remember, first brings down the Ten Commandments on the tablets and the words of the Lord. And as he comes down, he hears this big ruckus. And down there, Aaron had succumbed to the pressure of the people, and they had golden calves and that they had made from the gold of and jewelry that they had access to, and Aaron threw it into the pit. And I think that's even just hilarious that Aaron's like, Moses, what do you expect to do? These are evil people, and they gave me all this gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this golden calf. You know, like Aaron's trying to like remove culpability from himself, and just how foolish that was. But that's the context that we see in Exodus 34. And then after that, you know, Moses goes back up to the mountain, this was the words of God to him when he went back up on that mountain. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generations. We see this covenant language that God had made there with Moses, and it said that this is the covenant I make with you, that my steadfast love and faithfulness will be before you, and this is the promise I make, and that this steadfast love that I have, I'm keeping it for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression of sin. And that, I love this because it's this covenant language that God is using toward Israel. And throughout the generations, it's that same language that continues being repeated through the prophets of the Old Testament, because they're always remembering the steadfast love of God who keeps His promises. Point number three is that God's love makes a way for peace. And we know that in our own relationship with God, that God has broken down that wall of hostility there that we read in Ephesians. And you'll be in question four reading Ephesians 2, 17 through 18 and Romans 5, 1 through 2. And you'll be answering the question, how does the presence of peace accurately convey what God's love means for those who were previously his enemies? And I want you to spend a lot of time on questions 4 and 4a and 4b, because we go into this successive questions of, okay, what does it look like to have peace with God? And then 4a talks about, what does it look like for the Christian to have God's peace as they live throughout their lives, even in times of anxiousness and worry and desperation? And then question 4b, we read Matthew 5, 9 that we looked at on Sunday morning, and Romans 14, 19, talking about the way that we ought to be walking in the peace of God, but propagating peace in relationships with others and acting as God's ambassadors, peacemaking toward those around you. And so I believe that you spend, if you have spent a lot of time on questions like questions 2, questions 4, 4a, 4b, you're going to help your group apply God's word, particularly God's covenant-keeping love and how he expresses that to us. And you're going to help your group apply how God's love emanates from his children to others, to one another, and ultimately to us back to God as we trust in him and he gives us peace. We're trusting in that covenant-keeping love of God that Philippians 4, 4 through 7 promises us, that when we're anxious, we can go to God. He cares. He's going to give us the peace of Christ, and so on and so forth. I think those are going to be really helpful application questions this week as you jump into your life groups. And as always, I just want to encourage you. I love that I'm the pastor of the church, but one of my particular roles is I'm over all of our life groups. I want to encourage you, remind your life groups to prioritize being there in their life groups this week. Make sure that you're sending emails and regular communique to your people to help them understand the importance of gathering together, discussing these questions, and living life together with one another. I encourage you, even question number one, where we talk about in these application questions, we talk about the baptisms. Make sure that you spend time when we do these baptism services to spend time talking about the baptisms. Even you as a life group leader, tell them, hey, here's a baptism testimony that I heard that really resonated with me or really moved me or that really encouraged me, and get your group talking about people's stories of how Christ has saved them and used people in our church to lead people to Christ. And all of those different aspects are going to help our church come together and say, wow, we are, as you're talking about in our men's and women's Bible study, striving side by side together for the faith of the gospel. And so I want to encourage you to go ahead and make sure you spend time talking also about the baptisms this week. All right, life group leaders and apprentice leaders, just a few announcements, and I know we have a lot going on, but there's just really three that I want you to focus on this week, perhaps four. We have a prayer meeting coming up the last Sunday of the month. I always want to point you to our regular prayer meetings. Also want to invite all of our gals, make sure that you are there for the women's Bible study on the fourth Saturday of the month. And even if you're men in this room or women in here, because we have the same setup for our Bible studies, as a life group leader and apprentice leader, because this is a great place for the apprentice leader and the life group leader to make sure that they're prioritizing this, even if one of you can't be there. Because if you as a leader and an apprentice leader do not prioritize men's Bible study, your life group will not. And it's really clear if they don't, because what happens is they don't show up. And, you know, we're not here to just talk about attendance and talk about numbers, but what we are here to do is talk about faithfulness and making sure that we're all prioritizing our gatherings and our Bible studies and the auxiliary things that we do that are attached to these life groups. I mean, there's a real reason that we don't try to overdo it with asking more and more and more and more of our life group leaders and apprentice leaders and really people at our church. But what we do say is we are busy about the work of the Lord, and there are a number of things that we just want to prioritize. And one of those is saying, gather every week in your life group, and once a month, men and women, you'll break off into these men's and women's Bible studies, and you will fellowship there. Now, what this doesn't mean is it doesn't mean that you can never, as a leader or a prince leader, miss one of these. But what it does mean is you guys, as leaders and apprentice leaders, are going to make sure that you organize and plan accordingly so no one in your life group feels like they can't be at the Bible study because you're not going to be there. And that's something that I would like you to internalize. Not that I've seen this, but inevitably these things are going to happen where you're not, one of you aren't going to be able to be at the Bible study. But don't be a stumbling block for those in your group not to be able to go because there's no one there going to lead the group. Make sure that you plan ahead to ensure that everyone at our church, whether it's men or women's Bible study, can take part every single month in their group at our men's and women's Bible studies. The third announcement is we have child dedications on May the 12th at the 9 and 11 a.m. services. That is Mother's Day. You can register online. We'll give you guys a better link to access this week in our weekly announcements that we'll send out on Tuesday. But you can still go online to compasshillcountry.org and you can scroll down to the events tab. And if you go down to the events there on our website and just that you'll see, if you just scroll down to what's happening, you'll see that our featured events, one of those is our child dedications on Mother's Day. So I want to encourage you, sign up for that. We will have a limit to how many people can sign up for that, and it seems like we have an unlimited amount of babies, so something's going to have to give there. So we just want to make sure we can get as many people registered as possible, but inevitably we're going to run out of space. So just make sure anyone in your groups who need and desire to come before the church to have the church pray for their kiddos as they commit to raising their children in a home that honors the Lord, that they are able to do that. And finally, on Thursday at 10 a.m., our church is going to gather together with the Wine family to celebrate the life of Alden Wine, to come together to remember the Lord and to honor Him in the giving of our life and in bringing us back to Him. We're going to celebrate the salvation that Alden was given by God just a few months ago, and we're going to be together, and we're going to mourn, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to propagate and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and pray that people would, even who don't know Christ, would be moved to responding to the gospel through the testimony of Alden that has already happened. I just want to encourage the church, in the midst of the great tragedy that we have before us, there are people who have responded to the gospel because Alden was so bold and faithful in the gospel in the 10 months that he'd been saved to tell people the truth. His testimony, his baptism testimony online has thousands of views, and all of that, just glory to God that He had given Alden the boldness to share the gospel. And we're just going to do that again on Thursday. And I want to invite you as a life group leader and apprentice leader, and I want you to invite those in your group to come and be a part of this funeral as we come together as a church family to mourn and to support the Wine family. Okay, life group leaders, apprentice leaders, I'm so thankful for you that week in and week out, you serve faithfully. You make sure that you listen to this podcast and prepare for your life group. So grateful for your commitment to the Lord and to our church. We'll see you next week.